Good morning. Thank you for taking the opportunity to be with us on this morning. I am indeed excited about what the Lord has given us for today. The Bible speaks of us having a word that's fitly spoken, and I believe that this is a season that we need a word that is fitly spoken. I want to encourage you, if you know anyone who needs a word from God, and I think you've seen now my track record when I say that, I'm not about hype. I'm not about just putting things out there. I believe God is speaking to us in this hour and in this season. Reach out to them. This would be a wonderful time for you to make sure that your watch party is on, that you've got individuals connected, that you, hey, I promise you that this word will impact their lives both for now and all eternity. Is it because I'm saying it? No, it's because it's God's word. And I believe his word, as according to the scriptures, the Bible says his word is forever settled in heaven. We need that word that's settled in heaven to be in us, so we'll be settled here on this earth. So I believe God is speaking to us, and I want to encourage you, those family members that you may even have out of town, reach out to them. Those individuals that you may not have talked to in a while, or your coworkers, reach out to them. I believe that God is speaking to us, and they will be blessed by hearing this word. So I'm going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and we'll get ready to get started for this morning. Again, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time, and we do not take it lightly. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you've set in motion all things. I thank you, Lord, that you have caused us to have ears to hear and a heart to obey. I pray today, Father, that the word of God will have free course and be glorified. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be soiled, that we receive this engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls and will bring forth fruit that would glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we thank you and we honor you this day in Christ's name. Amen. Again, good morning to you. I want to step right into the word of God. However, prior to doing that, I want to encourage you. This is a word that you want to make sure that you can hear it. So I want you to sit down. I want you to maybe grab a little a piece of paper, a pen or something. I want you to be able to write this down. There's some things I'm going to cover some stuff. It's going to be some of it be kind of fast because of the sake of time. And speaking of time, I hope you'll give me the time to conclude this matter today. I just want to make sure that you have an opportunity to hear it. I believe this will bless you enough that you'll want to go over it and listen to it again. I know I am, because it's a blessing to me already. So today I want to speak to you from the topic, embracing the kingdom movement to fulfill your dream. Embracing the kingdom movement to fulfill your dream. What do you mean, dream, Pastor? Well, I want to clarify what I'm saying. Before I tell you what I am saying, I'm going to tell you what I'm not saying. I am not talking about the dream you had because you ate pizza the night before. I am not talking about the dream you had because your mind was so busy and it was full of so many activities from the previous day that when you finally laid down to rest, you had nightmares of stuff chasing you and all of this. That's not the dream I'm talking about. I am talking about embracing the kingdom movement to fulfill your dream. What do you mean, dream, Pastor? I am talking about this kind of dream. The dream that God puts a desire in your heart that cannot be quenched, that cannot be silenced until it's fulfilled. I am talking about the thing that's on the inside of your innermost being, and it was placed there by the Spirit of the living God. That thing that cannot be quenched, that thing that cannot be silenced until it's fulfilled. The thing that when you sit down and you try to just relax, it begins to come back up on the inside. That thing that when you sit down and you're doing activities, you may be in your job and you're working, doing your daily routine, but something on the inside begins to stir. It begins to stir. You may be perceived as successful by everybody else around you. They may applaud you with all kind of accolades, but there's something on the inside of you that cannot be quenched. There's something on the inside of you that cannot be silenced. It's seeking to be fulfilled. That's the dream. That's the dream. Let me give you a biblical illustration of what I'm saying when I'm talking about fulfilling your dream. I am talking about, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. See, I have found people who are seeking to be successful, but they're defining their success by worldly things. So they're really not fulfilled. They're really not satisfied. They really haven't quenched their desire. They're just allowing the accolades to pacify them. But I am talking about you being honest with yourself and being honest before the living God. The dream, the thing that God, the desire that God birthed on the inside of you that cannot be quenched, that cannot be silenced until it is fulfilled. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, the Bible says, "Then I said," this is Jeremiah talking, "he said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." The prophet Jeremiah is talking about when he decided he was not going to pursue the dream that God had put in his heart. Jeremiah is talking about when he decided to abandon the dream that God placed in his heart. And he said, "I found myself, it was like fire burning on the inside of me. I couldn't quench it. I couldn't stay it. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't rest. It was something on the inside that was insatiable. It was something on the inside that needed to be fulfilled. It was something that I couldn't get away from." See, that's the dream. I am talking about embracing the kingdom movement to fulfill your dream. I hope you're ready. Number one, you ready? I am. Listen to this. Number one, dreams were designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. We'll just give you a Selah moment. Dreams were designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. Listen to this. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions." See, a kingdom dream has no age limit. A kingdom dream has no age limit. What do you mean, Pastor? Are you aware that Sarah and Abraham had a dream of fathering a child, mothering a child? Do you realize how old they were when they saw their dream fulfilled? Because a kingdom dream has no age limit. See, God will put something on the inside of you that is insatiable, that you cannot quench, that you cannot silence until it's fulfilled. And it has nothing to do with how old you are. Well, I'm going to share some things in a minute. Just stick with me. Go with me to Psalms chapter 126, verse 1. Very familiar passage of scripture for some of us. The Bible says in verse 1, "A song of degrees, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." I want you to realize this. Dreams are not limited by your current conditions or circumstances. The psalmist is writing about a condition where they were actually in captivity. And he said, when God turned our captivity, it was like a dream. See, dreams are not limited by your situations or your circumstances or the conditions you may find yourself in. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that God has the audacity to open you up and place inside of you a dream that's far beyond your condition, that's far beyond your environment, a dream that you cannot rest until it's fulfilled, a desire for you to accomplish. And no matter, you may look up and say, well, how am I going to do this? There's no way. No. There's no way you see. But he put the dream inside of you, and it was not predicated upon your conditions or your environment. Stop saying you can't do something because of where you are or because of who's in front of you. Stop allowing yourself to believe the lie of the enemy concerning the dream that's on the inside of you. Just stick with me. I'm going to show you according to the scriptures, not my opinion, but the word of God. See, a dream transcends where you are. It's just like when we dream at night. You are in your bed, but you can be all across the entire globe somewhere. You could be in outer space in your dreams. See, when God places a dream inside of you, it transcends where we are. It is bigger than what you see. It is more bolder than what's on the outside. It is the dream that God has put in you. It is the desire that God has put in you that cannot be quenched, that cannot be silenced until it is fulfilled. Go with me to Exodus chapter 36, verse 1. You're going to have to give me some time today. The Bible says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Verse 2, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Notice that what God put in their heart is what stirred them up to work. God put something in their heart and they were stirred to work. This is what the dream is like. He puts something inside you and you are stirred to work. You are stirred to work. Other people may be looking at you like, what's going on? Why? Because I'm stirred. It's something on the inside that cannot be quenched, that cannot be silenced until it's fulfilled. Notice, God put it in their heart. See, kingdom dreams are put in our heart by God. That's why they were designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to mess some of y'all up now. And I'm going to just toss this out because for the sake of time, I don't have time to deal with it. A kingdom dream can be put in your heart whether you're saved or not. Let me work with you just for a quick second. Some of you all, God put something in. Some of you all, you said, I want to be this. You were a child, but God put it in your heart, and you had an unshakable determination to accomplish this thing, despite all of the odds you may have faced, and you ended up later on in your life coming into salvation. You see, you had a kingdom dream in your heart even before you knew the King. See, a kingdom dream transcends where you are. It has nothing to do with whether you are saved or not. It's designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom, meaning whether you'll get credit for it or not. Oh, my goodness. I am preaching better than you saying amen, and I know that's the truth. Number two, not only were dreams designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom, but listen to this. Do not expect everyone to understand or like your dream. Do not expect everyone to understand or to like your dream. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Most of us think because God put something in our heart that everybody's going to understand it, that everybody's going to applaud it. They're going to help you. They're going to push you along. No. We need to wake up. We need to become more realistic in our approach to the scriptures. Go with me to Genesis chapter 37. My goodness, it seems like time is flying. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. We're going to jump right in this. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. A kingdom dream may have been placed in your heart from your youth. What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, some commentators or some commentary suggests that Joseph is approximately 15 to 17 years of age. So he's a teenager and he is dreaming the dream of God as a teenager. Go with me to verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Listen, our dreams are not always clearly understood by us or by others. Let's just be real. You don't always understand what God's put in your heart. I'm going to do what? You know, something, let me tell you, can I be honest with you? When you realize that God has put something in your heart, you really not too keen on even talking about it because it sounds so strange. It seems so enormous. It seems so beyond your capability to ever. You go like this. Let me just push that away. That can't be. But our dreams are often not understood by us nor by others. Not only that, listen to this. I'm going to do verse 7 again. So Joseph is telling them his dreams. He says, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and it also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and they made obeisance to my sheaf. Listen to this. Just because someone knows you doesn't mean they can handle your dream. Well, you know, I know him. We grew up together. No. Don't assume just because they know you that they can handle your dream. Because your dream could be so big that they don't see themselves in it the way they want to be seen. They don't see themselves doing what they want to do because now they can't handle your dream because it ain't positioning them where they want to be. See, just because somebody knows you, don't assume they can handle your dream. Verse 8. I have to give me a little time today, saints. Verse 8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. A kingdom dream is designed to benefit others, whether they know it or not. Hear me. See, even though people may not understand it, even though people may not get it, a kingdom dream is designed to benefit others, whether they know it or not. These same brothers, they said, the Bible says they hated him yet the more because of his dream. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. I want to share this with you from my heart. Keep dreaming despite the response of others. Keep dreaming despite the response of others. What do you mean, Pastor? Sometimes we allow people to squelch our dream. God gave it to us. It cannot be quenched, cannot be silenced, but we allow people and their opinions to sometimes cause us not to believe in the God who gave us the dream. Keep dreaming despite the response of others. Now, also look at this. He dreamed yet another dream. Your ability to dream is not predicated upon others understanding or accepting your dream. I don't need permission from somebody else to fulfill the dream that God gave me. I don't need you to sanction the dream as being something that can be accomplished simply because now you see how it can be done. Keep dreaming despite the response of others. Your dream is not predicated upon others understanding or accepting your dream. Boy, I know I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I know it. Verse 10. And he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is the dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Now, I'm going to share something, and you may think this is contradictory to what I just said, but I'll explain it in a moment. The Bible says in verse 10, and he told it to his father. Do not be afraid to share your dream with someone in authority. Do not be afraid to share your dream with someone in authority. But pastor, he shared it with his father, who was his authority, and his father rebuked him. Why should I share my dream with someone in authority and get rebuked? Why should I have to take that abuse? Why should I have to take that punishment? Why can't I just keep it to myself? Oh, I hear you. I hear you asking all of those questions. But let's look at something. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. And I'm going to tell you why. The Bible says, and when he was coming to the temple, talking about Jesus, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? In other words, they were recognizing that Jesus was operating under authority. He was not doing it in and of himself. If Jesus operated under authority, shouldn't we operate under authority? See, you cannot have authority unless you submit to authority. So Joseph, when he dreamed, he went to his authority. Now, I tried to go with my brothers and they wasn't getting with me. I tried to share it with them because, you know, after all, we family. I tried to share it with somebody who can understand. Since I'm the young brother, they might have a little bit more insight. So Joseph said, you know what? Forget that. Let me go to the authority. Let me go to the one who covers me. Let me go to the one who is responsible for my welfare. And he went to his father with his dream. But pastor, his father rebuked him. Let me tell you something. Your accountability is more important than your feelings. Oh, my goodness. Your accountability is more important than your feelings. What do you mean? See, going to the authority kept him accountable. It wasn't about how he was feeling, because watch this. Let me stay with my text. Oh, my goodness. Verse 11. The Bible says, and his brethren envied him. See, they envied him because of his dream. But listen to this. But his father observed the saying. What do you mean? See, his father loved him. In other words, the authority figure loved him. It wasn't about his dreams and all that. His authority figure loved him. You don't want all a bunch of yes men in your life. You want people who are really looking out for your genuine welfare. So he went to the authority, and the authority loved him. But watch this. The Bible says his father observed the saying. In other words, the authority figure sought to understand what it all meant in the scheme of life. See, Jacob was his father, and Jacob understood how God can deal with you in some things. So Jacob took a moment to step back and look at the whole big picture and say, let me observe this. Let me see what's really going on with this. Notice his brothers never took time to stop and recognize what was going on. They were so busy hating that they couldn't recognize that God was doing something. And if you read the text in verse 10, his father said, you mean to tell me that me and your mama and your 11 brothers going by? Notice his father really had the interpretation of his dream. Don't be afraid to go to someone in authority. Your accountability is more important than your feelings. Are you still with me? Number three. The path to the fulfillment of your dream is often plagued by hardship. The path to the fulfillment of your dream is often plagued by hardship. Let me be very honest with you. This is probably the biggest reason most kingdom dreams go unfulfilled. Typically, we have this misconception that since God put it in our heart, it's going to be easy. The first thing we think when something comes up that's contrary to what we felt that God has placed in our heart, we simply assume it must not be God's will. We turn our energies to something less opposed. We give our energies to the norm. You know, I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, God is looking to do the impossible in people. What a shame that we only seek to do those things that we can do on our own. It is absolutely crazy that we don't believe God for something big. Before I even go into number three, I just want to stop for a moment. I want to stop and I want to ask you, what's in your heart that's beyond you? What's in your heart that scares you to do it? What's in your heart that you know you can't do alone? Maybe you're describing the dream that God put in your heart. But opposition, circumstances, people, and your own unbelief have left it in your heart. This message is to bring it out. This message is to draw it back out in the forefront and to let you know you're not alone, that there are other people out here dreaming, that there are other people out here seeking to have their dream fulfilled as they embrace the kingdom movement. So, the path to the fulfillment of our dream is often plagued with hardship. Genesis 37, verse 16. The Bible says, and he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. Listen to this. Tell me where they feed their flocks. So, Joseph is on a routine assignment that is the beginning of the fulfillment of his dream. What do you mean, Pastor? If you're following the text and you're accustomed to the story, you know that Joseph has been home with his father and his brothers are out tending to the sheep. His father basically gives Joseph a command and say, listen, go and check on your brothers. Go see how they're doing. So Joseph takes a routine assignment. In other words, it is an everyday normal assignment. There is no indicator to let us know that this is any different than any other day that Joseph was assigned to go check on his brothers. But this is the day that God marked from all eternity to be the beginning of the fulfillment of the dream. What do you mean, Pastor? See, Joseph was like you and I. We got up today. We done what we normally do. We brushed our teeth. We combed our hair. We had our breakfast, so on and so forth. It was a routine day, but you didn't know that this was the day that God was going to bring the dream back to the forefront. You didn't know there was going to be a day where God was going to remind you about what he had placed in your heart. See, we're starting out just like Joseph. We're on a routine day. We're walking through the meadows. We're coming over the hilltops. We're going to find our brethren. After all, it's a happy day. After all, it's a normal routine opportunity. We're probably thinking about what we're going to do when we get back home. We're probably thinking about, I wonder what mama gonna fix for dinner. We're probably thinking about the normal routine things that would happen in the course of a day, just like Joseph while he's walking towards his brethren. But this is the day that God starts the beginning of the fulfillment of his dream. Let me share this. Even in difficulty, we are often on the right path, but do not realize it until later. What do you mean, Pastor? A lot of us, if we look back, we understood that even though it was a difficult season in our lives, it was the right path. We were still on the right path. It wasn't that we were doing something wrong. It was just the difficulty of the moment. We were still on the right path. just like Joseph. He wasn't doing nothing wrong. He was keeping the assignment, going to check on his brethren. Go with me again to verse 17. And the man said, they had departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. I want to share this with you, and I want you to hear this. There is nothing that will transpire in our lives that God cannot use to fulfill the dream he's placed in our hearts. Oh yeah, I'm stopping for a moment because I want you to think about that. Because some of us think that there are things in our lives that we've done, that we've experienced, that have happened to us that are so terrible. Listen, there is nothing that will transpire in our lives that God cannot use to fulfill the dream he's placed in our hearts. If you notice this, his brothers are conspiring against him. How in the world is God going to use all of the people conspiring against you in your life to fulfill the dream? How can God possibly use that person that don't like you on your job to fulfill the dream? How is it possible that the situation you find yourself in now, God can use to fulfill the dream? The problem is we think about us and not about God. We love to say he can do anything until we find ourselves in trouble and don't know how to figure it out. He can use those who conspire against you to fulfill the dream. He can use those on your job that don't like you to fulfill the dream. He can use the situation you find yourself in right now to fulfill the dream. Why? Because he's God and you're not. See, we need a bigger picture of who God is. We need a biblical picture of who God is. Verse 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Let me be very plain with you as I say this. The enemy's plan is to destroy you and your dream. I don't know how to make it any more plainer than that. They said, let us slay him, and then we're going to see what happens with his dreams. The enemy's plan is to kill you or to destroy you and to destroy your dream. There is no game with this. So those of you all that have been playing and walking as close as you can to the edge, be mindful. The enemy's plan is to destroy you and your dream. It's not a game. Verse 21. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. Listen, the difficulty or affliction to the fulfillment of our dream in the kingdom will only go so far. What do you mean, Pastor? I don't care how bad you're going through right now. I don't care how bad the situation looks. Listen, it's only going to go so far. Why? Because if you have embraced the kingdom movement, no matter how far it goes, it's going to yield you fulfilling the dream God has placed in your heart. It will only go so far. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how much affliction it may seem to be, it will only go so far. Verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Let me just say it like this. The fulfillment of our dreams within the kingdom will have some low points. The fulfillment of our dreams in the kingdom, we'll have some low points. Listen, every day is not going to be a mountaintop experience. You're going to find yourself in the pit sometime with no water. What do you mean no water? The things that you desire may not be there. Things that you want may not be there. But listen, you ain't going to stay in the pit forever either. So why crying? Why are you crying about it? It's only going to go so far. But I want you to know, I want you to be aware, there will be some low points. If you talk to anybody that has ever seen their dream fulfilled, I guarantee you they have some low points. But we just don't like to talk about that. We don't want to even act like they exist. It's part of the course. The Bible says in Psalms 34 and 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. You're going to have some low points, but you ain't going to stay there. It may be a pit experience right now, but you ain't going to stay there. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. The Bible says that they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Do not expect everyone to discern the value of your dream. Let me put it this way. Joseph was going to, let's just skip for a moment. Joseph is going to become the prime minister of Egypt. He is going to be the man who will save not just the nation of Egypt, but pretty much everybody connected to Egypt. And they sold the man for 20 pieces of silver. See, do not expect everyone to discern the value of your dream. If you're going to sell him, it seemed like you'd have got more out of him if you'd have discerned what he was going to do. Don't expect everyone to discern the value of your dream. And just because they don't discern it, don't mean it ain't valuable. Oh, let me. Verse 36, the Bible says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Listen to this. God will always get you to where you need to be. Why are you laughing, Pastor? Because there's a part B to that. God will always get you to where you need to be. You just may not always like the method. You may not always like the method. See, the path to the fulfillment of our dreams is often, listen to this now, it's often plagued with hardship. What do you mean? Well, the Bible speaks of a story of a man named Moses. Moses was a fugitive who would become a deliverer because in his heart, God placed a desire to deliver his people. But out of turn, Moses acted and killed a man and became a fugitive and had to run for his life out of the very place he was designed to go back and deliver everybody else from. God is going to always get you where you need to be. You just may not like the method. Well, Pastor, really, is it always like that? Well, David was a shepherd. He hazarded his life saving a lamb from a bear and a lion because he was in training to lead God's people. He went from a shepherd to a king. You may not always like the method because he had to face a giant before he came on the scene. See, what method is God using to get you there? Some of us have been the Sauls of life. We were persecutors. And now God placed the Saul into becoming a Paul, the apostle. See, you may not always like the method because like Saul, you might need to be knocked off your horse. You might need to be blinded for a moment so you can really see. See, we may not always like the method, but God will always get you where you need to be. I want to share something with you because some of you all may have taken what I've shared in one way, and I want to make sure I cover this. So I want to close with two other things here, and I'm really about finished. In Luke chapter 8, verse 3 is a quick, brief synopsis. The Bible speaks of two particular ladies. One lady is named Joanna, and the other lady is named Susanna. And the Bible says, and many others. What the scripture is capturing is that these were ladies who actually ministered unto Jesus out of their substance. This is not the giving part of the service, so you don't have to cut off right now. This is an example of, I want to show you what a dream looks like. I want to show you how a dream is in somebody's heart to do something. Because these particular two ladies, and of course the Bible says, and the many others who are not even named, their heart's desire was to minister to the Savior. They were, listen, I want you to hear me. They were women who had substance. They were, let me just put it like it is. They were women who had money. But they understood that the reason they had the money was something God had purposed in their heart from the time that they had come to know about the Savior. It was to minister to Jesus. See, sometimes you may have a business in your heart, but maybe the business is in your heart because God wants to use it to fund the kingdom. He wants to use it to what he's going to do in the last day. See, it's not about how many cars you could get, what kind of house you could have. Hey, nothing wrong with that. But these women knew when Jesus came on the scene, now I know why I got what I got. Now I know what I'm supposed to do with what I have. Now I understand why the dream kept burning. Now I understand why the desire could not be quenched. Now I know why it could not be silenced, because it was going to be fulfilled when I gave to Jesus' ministry. See, when you begin to understand what the dream has, that's why it can only be fulfilled when you embrace the kingdom movement. Well, I know. I'm going to close. I know some of y'all don't have enough. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And that same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now let's stop for a moment. Something has been placed in his heart. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He's waiting for something. There's something been placed on the inside of this man. He's obviously become an aged individual. There's something that's been placed on the inside of him by God. It is something that it cannot be quenched. It is something that cannot be silenced. There's a dream inside this man. He is just and he is devout, according to the text. But there's something on the inside of him, and it says he's waiting for the consolation. So there's something that's not fulfilled yet. There's something yet to come about yet with this man. Something is still going on. He's still hanging on for a reason. My goodness. The verse 26. And the Bible says, and it was revealed unto him. Oh, now I'm beginning to understand what's on the inside of me. Now I'm beginning to understand the dream. Now I'm beginning to see what's happening. It says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So wait a minute. So the Holy Ghost came upon him and told him, you're not going to die till you see Jesus. You will not die. The dream will not be silenced. The dream will not be quenched. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you need to understand this man's circumstance. In this time, the Romans have actually oppressed the Jews. In this time, he is on the other side of 400 years of silence, where the Jews have not had anyone to speak to them the word of God. He is on the other side of seeing people do all kinds of things that are contrary to the will of God. But the Holy Ghost speaks to him and tells him, you will not see death until you see the Lord's Christ, until you see the Messiah, until you see the Savior. See, there's a dream on the inside of him that can't be silenced, that can't be quenched until it's fulfilled. And the Bible says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus, didn't nobody call him on his cell phone? The Spirit of God directed him. God will always get you what you need to be. At the same time that they were bringing Jesus to the temple to do for him after the custom of the law, verse 28, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It's been fulfilled. Now, God, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to step out into eternity now. You have fulfilled the dream that was in my heart. I'm ready now. Dreams were designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to get this. The Lord gave me this morning, and I had to jot it down. It blew me away. God never gave us the keys to the church. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. If you look at Matthew 16 and 19, you see that. He takes pleasure in us having the kingdom, not the church. What are you saying, Pastor? So many of us sought to have our dreams fulfilled in church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The reason we don't have the keys to the church is because the church don't belong to us. The kingdom does. Luke 12 and 32, he says, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. What am I telling you? That God put this dream in your heart to go out and bring his kingdom into the earth. It is for the good of the kingdom. Will you benefit? Yes, because that's how good God is. But it's designed for the benefit of the kingdom. Embracing the kingdom movement is the way you fulfill your dream. And when you understand that, you're on the path to being fulfilled in every area of your life. Listen, what is the dream God has placed in your heart? It's designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. First off, to those of you all that don't know Christ, I'm going to be honest with you. You can make all the money you want to make. You could have all of the trappings that this earth can ever offer you. But I will promise you this one thing, and hear me. You will never be fulfilled, because your dream was designed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. The only way you will ever be fulfilled is in God's kingdom. And the only way to get in the kingdom of God is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This is the truth. The truth is, Jesus is the Son of the living God. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. This same Jesus is coming back again. He wants us to accept his sacrifice of dying on our behalf and fulfilling a requirement or standard for a holy God that you and I could not fulfill. And once you do that, you're on the path to fulfilling the dream that God has put in your heart, because the dream can only be fulfilled in the kingdom. If you want to be a part of God's kingdom, I want you to bow your head with me right now. Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sins. I recognize that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. I want to be a part of the kingdom. Amen and amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I want you to reach out today. I want you to reach out to our prayer line. There's a number on there. reach out and let them know, listen, I prayed the prayer and I am a part of the kingdom of God. And the dream that God has put in my heart, I am ready to see it fulfilled now. I'm ready to see it fulfilled concerning his kingdom. I know that God has done something wonderful in the lives of some of you all that are listening today. I sense it even in my spirit that there's a liberating spirit of God that has gone forth now, where some of you all are able to connect the dots in your life and understand that this is God who is saying it's not going to be silenced. It's not going to be quenched until it's fulfilled in my kingdom. Some of you all are repositioning things in your life. You're beginning to see that you're in the kingdom, but you were seeking to fulfill the dream on your own. You were saying, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. Well, I don't understand. Well, now you're saying, okay, I understand how it connects to the kingdom. And when you align yourself with God's kingdom, the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When you align yourself with his coming kingdom, you are aligning yourself with the perfect will of God for your life. And that's what he desires for each and every one of us. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. I pray that you would leave encouraged, and I pray that it would bless you both now and through all eternity as God aligns us up with embracing the kingdom movement so we can fulfill our dream. Listen, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, if this message has been a blessing to you and you consider it something worthy of you sowing into, I pray that you would discern the value of what you have heard and you would sow accordingly. You determine what you reap by what you sow. I know this, God is able to make all grace abound toward us so that we will require no aid or support. I know God is well able to do that. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I believe God is looking for sowers who he could give seed to. See, everybody is eating, but who's sowing? The Bible says he will increase the fruits of our righteousness. See, I want what I do for God to increase. See, righteousness is doing things God's way. I want to increase in the amount of things that I'm doing God's way. I want to continue to look at God. How do you want this done? No matter what I'm doing, if I'm with my wife, as I'm being a husband, am I doing it God's way? Or is this something I saw on TV? As I relate to my brothers and my sisters, am I relating to them the way I want to? Or am I relating to them the way God says do it? See, that's increasing the fruits of my righteousness. A fruit is always the result of something. It's the result of my right way of doing things. I want God to increase that. Are you a eater or a sower? Because if you're an eater, you're going to get bread. But if you're a sower, you're going to get seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your truth with your people. May they be blessed, Lord, in accordance unto your word. May they obey what they have heard. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us. I consider it an absolute privilege. May the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless.